Hey, you guys, book review time. This time I have sort of a recommendation, also something that had to do with a movie that we reviewed kind of recently. I don't think this one was on my TBR because I think that I just kind of picked this one up on a whim because somebody mentioned it to me. So this is actually a sort of a short story collection, and it's called Wounds by Nathan Ballingrud. Hopefully, I'm pronouncing that right. Ballingrud. I'm sure I'm in the ballpark. Sorry, Nathan. So, how I came to review this book was that a while back, I talked about, I think it was maybe on one of our matinee shows, we talked about this movie called Wounds that came out in 2019. And I thought that it was based on a book. And then somebody in the comments, I can't remember who, but they said, yeah, there's like a book and it's called Wounds. And one of the stories in there is the basis for that movie. So I kind of got really interested. And then I had kind of heard the name Nathan Ballingrud before because I think in the horror community, he kind of made a bit of a splash with his previous short story collection, which was called North American Lake Monsters. And I think they were even talking about making that one into a series, if I'm remembering correctly. I haven't read that one yet, but I actually, after reading this one, I will probably go back and read that one. Although, from what I hear, both of these are kind of very different. So I kind of feel like North American Lake Monsters, from what reviews and stuff I read about it, was more concerned with, people in realistic situations who have this one, monster or fantastical element that kind of intrudes upon them. And then the stories are kind of concerned with what this incursion of the supernatural, I guess, or the monstrous does to them as human beings. Now, Wounds is a lot different. I will say, if you were into early Clive Barker, like Books of Blood, Clive Barker, you will probably really, really dig this. I'm not saying that it's a Clive Barker ripoff or anything like that, but it's kind of in the same ballpark. At least this one, this particular short story collection is. So what we have here, it's six stories. Now, some of them, like two or three of them, are pretty short, and then there are a couple in there that are kind of long, that are like novella length. And they all are thematically linked. The subtitle of the book is Six Stories from the Border of Hell. So basically, the theme of it is all about people that are trying to get to hell, people that are trying to summon hell somehow. But the weird thing about it, it's sort of like the classical hell that you're thinking of with Satan and demons and everything. But there's also something of a really kind of, Dante or Milton-esque kind of thing going on. Another thematic thing, too, is almost kind of like, I think what he's getting at in this collection is that the worst hell is, I don't want to say is love, but is maybe unrequited love. I kind of get, because there's a lot of thematic elements, like love story elements in these. And I don't want to say it's not like a rom-com or anything like that. This is, like I said, this is like early Clive Barker. It has a lot of dark fantasy elements. There's a lot of world building. It's really, really gory. So if you don't, I mean, there's like beings that climb inside of humans, like, and their skin doesn't fit and they wear them like clothing. There's like all this kind of crazy shit going on. It's like cannibalism, dismemberment, just blood gore. It's very, very, very gory. So if you don't like that kind of thing, then you're not gonna like this because it's very, very gory. But yeah, so what we have here is six stories that they're kind of, they have different settings, they have different characters, but there are some themes that are repeated and some kind of objects and stuff like that that kind of turn up in each of them. So it's interesting because even though the stories are sort of wildly different, they all share a kind of vibe and they all share a universe. So I guess he's kind of like just creating this extended universe and he's just telling all of these different stories within it, which I thought was really cool. So I guess the first five stories in this were previously published in various other places. The sixth one, which is called The Butcher's Table, was written particularly for this book. So it's a new thing. So let me kind of go into, well, let me mention first that the story that the movie Wounds was based on is actually the fifth story in here, and it's called The Visible Filth. I think this was released maybe as a chapbook, like on its own, because I think it's about 100 pages long or something, like I said, like novella length. And that story, I guess a lot of people didn't like the movie. I actually liked the movie. The story's much better. You know, having seen the movie first and then read the story, it seems like they did as well as they could, like translating the story into movie form. So I thought the movie was like a pretty good adaptation. Obviously, like I said, the story is better. Now, the story, The Visible Filth, is easily the most grounded in reality. So if you read North American Lake Monsters and you liked that more realistic take rather than a more dark fantasy take, then The Visible Filth is pretty much the only one that still has that grounded in reality sort of thing. The other ones are much more, we're in the Hellraiser dimension kind of thing. So it's, you know, like I said, this is dark fantasy. It's kind of shades into weird fiction too. There are some realistic elements, but not so many. However, The Visible Filth is pretty much grounded in the real world, in the modern world. And it just has to do with a guy named Will, who is a bartender in New Orleans. And there's a fight at his bar one night. And this girl, like in the scuffle, she drops her cell phone and she forgets it there. And so he takes it, he like puts it in his pocket. He's gonna, you know, get back to her later on. And then he's kind of looking through there to see whose it is. And he finds these really horrific pictures and videos. It's like, it's hard. I don't want to give too much away because, you know, there's a movie based on it. And like I said, I don't want to, but it's almost kind of like referring to this. It's sort of like a cult, I guess, or some kind of like interdimensional beings or something. And they come through to our world through people's wounds, both physical wounds and emotional wounds. So that's kind of what you have going on in that story. Like I said, it has some fantastical elements to it, you know, like kind of interdimensional or like something coming from hell or whatever. But it's very, very much based in reality, that story. The other five, not so much. So, like I said, that's the fifth story, and that's the one that the movie was based on. So, the first story in this is called The Atlas of Hell. And this is basically, it's almost kind of like a noir, like a gangster type of story, but with hell elements involved. So, basically, you have this guy, his name is Jack Oleander, and he's like a rare book dealer. And he gets summoned to find, like for this gangster, something called the Atlas of Hell. Now he's assuming, as you would, that it's a book, but that does not turn out to be the case. So he actually ends up in the middle of this fucking swamp in New Orleans somewhere at this tiny little shack where this person that has the Atlas of Hell lives. And you find out, like I said, I don't know if I want to spoil too much of these. It's like they're so weird that I don't know. I always went, well, I will say that it's not a book, what the Atlas of Hell is, and you don't really find out, like it's an object inside another object, let's say that, and it can do shit like if you open, let's okay, so it's in an iron box, and if you open the iron box that it's in, then it sort of like pollutes the environment around it. Like it almost kind of like warps you know, the surrounding area and people into other things. Like it's turning them into, you know, demons. Not, I don't know. I don't want to say that because that sounds a little pedestrian, but it turns things and it turns people into something else. Like it transforms them. But the interesting thing is you don't find out what the deal is with the Atlas of Hell, why this particular object is the Atlas until the last story, The Butcher's Table, which actually comes back like full circle again and explains where that atlas came from and why it ended up at that place. So I thought that was kind of cool that all of the stories, while very, very different, are sort of interconnected. Like they're all kind of in the same universe. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I thought that was kind of a cool idea. So that's the first story. Like I said, very gangster, very noir. It reminded me a little bit, and I know I'm going to say like, oh, a lot of them reminded me of Clive Barker, but they did. This one actually kind of reminded me a little bit of of Clive Barker's novel, The Damnation Game, a little bit. I haven't read that in a long time, but it gave me that same sort of vibe, I guess. But yeah, so like I said, if you like early Clive Barker, you'll probably super, super dig this. So the second story, which I think was the shortest, also I think maybe the weakest, it's still a good story, but I thought out of all the six, I think this is the one that I liked the least. This is called The Diabolist, and it's basically about a girl whose dad was a diabolist and he was summoning, you know, demons from various hell dimensions or whatever in his basement. And he dies. And she is trying to bring him back to life. Because I guess he had summoned this one thing. They don't really tell you what it is. It comes from the love mills in hell. Like I said, there's a lot of love elements in this, of hell being, I guess, unrequited love or longing, you know, something like that. So I guess that the dad was trying to summon, like, bring his wife back from the dead, and it didn't work out. And then this other thing came. And so this story is written from the thing's perspective. And it's almost like the thing is talking to you, the reader, but also kind of talking to the girl in the story that's trying to, like, take up her dad's work or whatever. So yeah, that one was a little weird. Like I said, it's kind of shorter. I think that was probably, like, my least favorite of the collection. Like I said, it's still a good story, but it was probably, like, my least favorite. Now, I will say, too, that other than The Visible Filth, which, like I said, is kind of more like a realistic story, you know, with just fantastical elements sort of threaded through it, these are very plot-centric, world-building, you know, fantasy-type stories. So there are good characters in them, but if you're really into getting, like, super deep into, you know, a character's mind or something like that, these stories aren't really so much like that. Like I said, the characters are kind of just sketchily drawn, kind of. So it's more about, I don't know, it's more about the world, and it's more about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So it's more like a bigger picture, I guess, type of thing, rather than, like, character studies. And I guess that's kind of a general thing with short stories anyway, because you don't have as much time to, you know, get inside the heads of these characters or spend a lot of time with these characters because the stories are so short. But I'm just saying that if you're really into, like, character-based horror, this is not so much that. Like I said, other than Visible Filth, which actually does have the main character of Will and his girlfriend and, you know, this other girl that he knows, like, his best friend, that has a lot more kind of character depth in it. But the other ones are kind of more fantasy-based, so they're more kind of about, they're more about the world-building, you know what I mean, and, like, how horrific this shit is. And the writing style, I will say, is, like, really, really, man, he's really good at describing shit. Like, some of the stuff, because, I mean, some of the stuff that's in the stories is crazy. You know what I mean? Just, like, you know, there's, like, one of the stories called The Maw. There's all these beings that have taken over this particular neighborhood, and everybody is gone. Like, all the buildings are hollowed out. And so they basically just take people in wheelbarrows, you know, just dead people or alive ones or whatever, and they kind of dismember them and skin them, and they kind of put all their skin, like bunting, like, all around the place for some reason known only to them. Because, like I said, they're from hell dimension. So, yeah. Third story, I think, because I mentioned, yeah, The Diabolist. Like I said, it's very brief, and it's kind of like just, it's almost more like a sketch or a vignette than a story, I guess. But yeah, that was probably my least favorite, but it's still a good story. So the third one is kind of interesting. The third one is called Skull Pocket. Now, this one is almost like a weird, like, dark comedy, like YA type of thing, because this has to do with a town called Hobbs Landing, which for a second I was just kind of like, is that, like, In the Mouth of Madness? But no, that's Hobbs End, but close enough. So this is basically about, there's a society of ghouls who are like, they're not like zombies, they're like people, but they just kind of, they eat people. They're like little cannibals or whatever. And they have a whole society, like, going on underground that the normal world doesn't know about. So this story is like, there's a town called Hobbs End, and the ghouls have taken this town over. So they've summoned 14 children to this thing that they call the Skull Pocket Fair, which they have, I guess they have every year or however long, and they always have 14 kids come. So you have the kind of host of the Skull Pocket Fair kind of cluing these kids in about the history of Hobbs End and how the ghouls came to take over the town. They even have their own religion, like the Order of the Maggot. And it's sort of about, so like I said, this is very, very Clive Barkerian, you know what I mean? It's just, it just kept, like, ringing all the Clive Barker bells, but you know what I mean? So it's kind of like that. So it's kind of like whimsical, but like in a real fucked up sort of way. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, little kids, like, pulling other little kids, like little kid ghouls, like, pulling normal kids' heads off and using their skulls for, you know, for the game, which is called Skull Pocket. But Skull Pocket has another meaning as well. So there's that whole thing. So like I said, as you can see, these are like wildly different kind of stories. You know what I'm saying? It's so they have like all different kind of vibes, but they're kind of linked in a weird way as well. So the fourth story, which I think I already mentioned, is called The Maw. Also pretty brief. It's just basically about this neighborhood or this town that's called the Hollow City. And for whatever reason, all of these demons or, hell beings or whatever have come and taken over this place. Everybody has left and they all live. So inside the town, it's just all kind of like all the buildings are hollowed out. Like I said, they kind of string skin and arms and legs and shit all over the place just because that's what they do. And there's a guy named Carlos who used to live in this area, but, evacuated. And he wants to go back in there to find his dog, Maria, because he thinks that Maria has run back to their old house. And so I guess there's been like, since whatever happened, there has been kind of a trade in all these kind of teenage kids that you can hire to be a guide to go into this hellscape town so you don't get hurt. So he hires this girl named Mix to go and look for the dog for him. And the reason it's called the Maw is because they go in one of the buildings and, there's like a big hell mouth in there or whatever. So that one was pretty good too. I kind of feel like, I don't know. The intriguing thing about these stories is that a lot of them, particularly the short ones, it just seems like there's so much more going on, like outside the boundaries of the story, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Because some of the ones are so brief and they just kind of give you just these briefest glimpses of, oh, this and that is going on over there. And they don't really, there's not really any reason for it. You don't really know the reason for it. So it's like a really interesting, intriguing. I kind of like that it's sort of more subtle. Like he didn't go super into this is the way this works and that's the way that works. Like some of the stories have those aspects to it, but a lot of it is kind of left to your imagination or, why that could be or whatever. Because I do kind of feel like maybe the stories were just like, well, that's just how it is. We're just not questioning it. You know what I mean? So there is kind of that sort of thing to it. So as I said, if you're real into kind of, like I said, more traditional horror or more narrative horror or something like that, probably this won't be your cup of tea. But if you're into Clive Barker, if you're into weird fiction, you should probably like really dig this. And like I said, it's super gory, so just take that into under advisement. So the fifth story is The Visible Filth, which I already talked about, easily my favorite one of the collection. And then the last one is The Butcher's Table. Now this one takes place, I'm not sure why, this takes place during the days when pirates, Pirates of the Caribbean days, whatever that was. But you know what I mean? So you have like pirate ships, and they were raiding whatnot. And so basically, the story in this one is that there's a guy who's in like a secret society, and he's going to the borderlands of hell, pretty much. They're going to the shores of hell. And he hires this guide, and then he hires a boat, like a ship, that's going to take him there. Another thing they're going to, so he, there's several things going on at once, because this one's kind of like, you really have to read this one and follow it, because there's like a bunch of different stories and it kind of jumps around. So he's going to marry his fiancée, who is from a secret society, but like an even more like demonic whatever, like that's like actually closer to hell than his. So he's going to marry her, and he wants to marry her on the shores of hell, because it's just kind of like this, like I said, it's very Dante, it's very Milton, it's that kind of stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like the shore, I really loved this image, but like the shore of hell, when they pull the ship up to it, a bunch of the landscape is made out of a humongous dead angel. You know what I mean? Like there's like a cave, but it's made out of like the angel's like crushed skull, and it's like this just this massive being, and it makes up like a whole bunch. So it's this kind of stuff. So there's that going on. He's trying to get there, and they're also trying to do this feast because there's like the woman that he's going to marry is she's in this, I guess you'd call him Satanist sort of, and they do call him that in the story a little bit sometime, but they're also cannibals. So they have a thing where the most holy thing you can do is to kind of give your body to be, to be literally eaten by the other Satanists. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing all of this at once. So it's kind of cool because these pirate ships And then they have this thing on there that's kind of like half plant, half human. And they need to have that because the sound that it makes when you hurt it gives you access to what they call like the dark water, because you have to like go like sail over the ocean. And then, you know, at some point this plant human hybrid thing has to make a noise, and it sort of opens the gates to the dark water. But then once you get into the dark water, there's other ships there called the Black Law, which they're trying to keep people off the hell shores because they don't want people just like wandering in there. So like, this is a very complicated, and it's longer than the other stories, but it's not super, super long. I think it's about 100 pages, but there's a lot going on in this. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of characters with a lot of, you know, and a lot of their motives are like are at cross purposes. So there's like a lot of, you know, backstabbing and double dealing and all that kind of stuff. So you really kind of have to pay attention to this one. This was the newest one. And like I said, the newest story in the collection, and this was the only one that had not been previously published because this was written for specifically for this book. Interestingly, when you get to one point of this story, you discover where the Atlas of Hell from the first story came from. And like I said, I don't know, should I say what it is? I don't know, I shouldn't say what it is, but yeah, so you kind of feel, like I said, it's not a book, it's not a map, it's not anything like that. You know what I mean? So, but you find out where that, so I really, really liked, cause for a while I was kind of, this one, I had a little bit of a trouble following it just because there's so many characters and I was just like, okay, well, wait, who's this now? And like, what ship are we on? And, you know, stuff. And I was trying to keep track of everyone's agendas. So this one is like, you really have to pay attention. But when that detail came up, I was like, oh, and then I was just kind of like, oh, and it's so it all kind of like, because I think previous to this, there had been some references to some things in other stories. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the story Skull Pocket, where they're talking about the town of Hobbs End, and they talk about the history and how the ghouls took over and integrated with the humans and all this other kind of stuff. But then if you look back at the story, The Diabolist, which was the one before that, the dad that died was also from that town. So like I said, it's like an extended universe type of thing going on, which I thought was a really, really cool idea. And it's not really something you see a lot in short story collections, I guess. It's like some people do it, I guess, but it's almost kind of like a Lovecraftian, you know what I mean? Like, so you know how Lovecraft had the Necronomicon and had some other things, and then other authors took it up and shit like that as well. But so this kind of seems like that. It just seems like six stories that take place in this same universe, but with overlapping elements, but they're each their own stories. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, five of them seem to take place in the present day, although some of them are so fantastical that it doesn't really matter, you know, if that makes any sense. The Visible Filth is very grounded in the real world, but that's the only one that is. I'm not sure if that's why that one was my favorite, or I don't know, because I was the most familiar with that one, I guess, because I'd already seen the movie. I don't know. I liked all the other ones too. I think this is like a really, really good book. I'm just saying it's not for everybody. If you're into Clive Barker, if you're into weird fiction, if you really like this kind of like interesting take on hell, which is sort of like literal hell, like it's really there. It's a place and you can go to it, but it's not exactly like, you know, it's not exactly like hell in the traditional sense. And I think he did a lot of really interesting things with that concept. So if that sounds like something that you would be into, then probably you should check this one out, because you'll probably really, really dig it. And like I said, his writing style is really good, because all of these fantastical things that are happening, and he's describing it so well that you can just like see it. You know what I mean? It's very, very cinematic. Like you can see exactly what it looks like. And I thought that was like really cool. As I said, I'm usually more into, I love Clive Barker, I'm not saying that, but I'm usually more into, you know, grounded in reality type stories, or, you know, ghost stories or psychological horror, things like that. So this is a genre that I read a little bit less of, but saying that, I really, really like this a lot. I enjoyed it very much. Some of the stories were a little bit weak for me, but overall, I thought this was like really, really good. So I would recommend it if that sounds like your cup of tea. And that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror. And I will see you on the next one. Bye.